podcast. The Dean Blundell Show podcast here at DeanBlundell.com. It's on YouTube, DeanTube. You can also get us on Twitch.com, Dean Blundell TV, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, where you get your fine podcasts. Whatever you call it. I'm almost tired of doing that because you probably know where you can get your stuff. Anyway, you can always get us at DeanBlundell.com and it's Dean Blundell on Twitter as well. Welcome to the show. Busy day today. We'll get to it in just a second. I want to thank our partners. Owner's Box Week for Fantasy Sports. Sign up for your Owner's Box account. You can get up to $100 deposit bonus today. If you love fantasy, Owner's Box is your premier weekly fantasy sports platform. Free to sign up. Totally customizable, self-contained. You can play for free or real dough, and you can take advantage of that $100 deposit right now. You put in $100, they put in $100 on top of that. It's free money. Owner's Box matches that deposit. If you're dumb, you won't do it. If you're smart, you will. Make Sundays great again with Owner's Box Fantasy Sports. Sign up at ownersbox.com today. Blue Microphones, the official mic of DeanBlundell.com and the DeanBlundell.com Podcast Network, sponsors of the Show Us Your Pod contest, where we pick one lucky podcast to join the network. And Blue is going to give the winner of the show in the Show Us Your Pod contest all new podcast. You get a new Yeti X mic, you get these headphones, and you also get a mic arm. Just head to DeanBlundell.com, click on the Blue Mic Show Us Your Pod link, enter now, thanks to our friends at Blue Microphones, the official mic of the DeanBlundell.com podcast network. And Gitch, Ed's Gitch, you want some, he's got it. Everybody needs underwear, especially now. You can't go out, everything's on lockdown, just let him send it to you. It's premier underwear, it's got the pouch in the front, boxer briefs, super stretchy, super light, super breathable. And right now, if you order three pairs, you get one for free when you use promo code GITCH3. If you don't want to shop for anybody, you want to do it online. Dads, boyfriends, Gitch. Ed's got it. Premier luxury underwear, four for the price of three right now when you use promo code GITCH3 at edsfineimports.com. Without further ado, please welcome to the program a fellow who has a podcast in the DeanBlundell.com podcast network. Former Secret Service to Barack Obama. He is a protection specialist from Silver Spear and the Spear Talk podcast. Please welcome Mr. John Guarnieri. Am I saying that right? Guarnieri? Am I wrong?
That was perfect. Almost from the motherland. That was good.
I did it without looking at your name, too, because phonetically I'm all fucked up if I look at your name. I'm like, I said to Sean before we started, I'm like, please tell me how we say John's last name properly because I don't want to fuck it up. Guarnieri.
Yeah, it's one of those things where if I think about someone's name or a difficult like city, I'm just like, man, I'm just going to say it. Like, I just go with it.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong. But right. You didn't have to because I fucking nailed it.
I dare you to correct me. Right.
Listen, dude, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. I love your podcast, Spear Talk. You kind of roll through a whole bunch of different guests. Like, you've got Second Amendment guys, you've got former military guys. You had a guy on that was doing like some kind of car rally last week. He was fucking phenomenal. You talk about protection. You talk about the state of the world. You talk about protecting animals. You kind of cover it all. So tell us a little bit about Spear Talk and a little bit about you.
Yeah. So basically I started that out of boredom and at the beginning of COVID, maybe some fear. And I'll explain that. And back in March when, so I just got done off of, I did the European tour with Chinedown. And then I had 2 weeks off and then I jump on a rock cruise. Our company, Silver Spirit, does the Rock Legends cruise. And this year, Roger Daltrey was the headliner. Well, I'm doing security for Roger. We get back after a week and 2 days later, I get a call from Roger's tour manager. Hey, do you feel sick at all? And I'm kind of like, well, that's a weird question to ask. Like, oh, cool. I'm so thankful you're thinking of me. And he's like, no, a couple of the crew guys have COVID symptoms. In the back of my mind, I'm like, you mean the disease from China? Like, what are you talking about? And not to say I'm naive to what's going on in the world, but everyone's like, it's not going to come here. Like, it's not an issue. So whatever. Well, a week after that, it turns out Roger Daltrey and I, the only ones who didn't get sick. A week later, I'm in California, specifically San Francisco, checking out some clients with my CEO and office manager. The day we fly out, we get an alert on our phone. Hey, San Francisco is shutting down all traffic, all travel because of the virus. So when that hit, I'm kind of like, okay, this is a real thing. So we get home to the Florida office. We're sitting around and I see the NBA goes, hey, we're postponing the season. And I'm like, it's the NBA. They're a bunch of Sallies. And not to take away that they're athletes and stuff, but NBA, you always like, they're always rolling an ankle. They're getting hurt, whatever. Well, literally 2 hours later, NHL is now postponing the season. Okay, what the hell is going on?
I love how the NHL is like your measuring stick of toughness too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of those things where like you never hear anything about, unless there's like a shutdown or there's nothing you never, they just play through whatever. Yep. And when that happened, I'm kind of like, holy shit. So literally tours start getting canceled and different projects and events we're doing. And I'm like, man, what are we going to do? And the fear came in with this is what I love doing. Like now I'm affected. Like no one has answers. There still aren't really any answers right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do we kind of create some sort of training or block of training or something where we can stay active? So that's kind of why I started the Spirit Talk. I'm like, well, if I have a bunch of friends in the industry, whether it's wildlife conservation, martial arts, domestic violence, people have gone after the cartels, stuff like that. I'm like, well, why don't I just kind of start doing my own thing where I can learn talking to my friends and put content out there that other people can learn. And that's kind of what's there. If now it's just, I've booked all the way through March with guests. And
you still are? Like you're booked now all the way through March?
Yeah. And so, and I'll do breaking news now. One of my guests is launching in January is Eric Stolhansky, who played Rabbit in Super Troopers. And so we're going to be having a good talk about him playing fictional law enforcement, and he's got an awesome story because he actually has one leg and not a lot of people know that. And, it's going to be great. So guests like that, that we can kind of have fun, learn, talk about stuff. And, that's kind of what I do. So I'm forever grateful for you guys, letting me kind of branch out and kind of do that in a larger platform.
Oh, it's awesome, dude. It's not a problem at all, and a pleasure to have you because it's educational, it's fun, it's interesting. It's a window into a world like personal protection. Doing what you do is a window into a world that no one seems to understand. And what was interesting, if you Jam Guariani is our guest, John, former Secret Service agent, is a podcast called Spear Talk at DeanBlundell.com, wherever you get your fine podcasts as well. You take protection to the next level a little bit because you were talking about animal conservation. And I didn't know a lot of guys that went from like personal protection got into, you know, conservation as well. Like it's a fascinating sort of industry because when you think about personal protection or when you think about bodyguards or you think about the kind of job that you're in, which is security and protection, you don't necessarily think about, you know, all the other aspects of protection when it comes to your job and what you do.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you have security teams that protect the oil pipelines, assets, or minerals like salt, those salt mines and diamond mines and blood diamond, I mean, all that stuff, quartz mines, they all have security because it's a commodity that everyone wants to have. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the wildlife stuff, and another Spirit Talk I'm doing is with VetPaw, and basically they are an organization that works throughout Africa that, well, if you're a veteran, no matter what country you're from, you get out, you have... Everyone says PTSD helps. If you have PTSD, animals help that. So they've combined it where you get therapy protecting rhinoceroses, these animals that are being hunted and harvested, but by providing security for them in these big parks where these big game hunters are illegally going after the rhino horn, the ivory tusk of the elephant, and stuff like that. So, yeah, it makes you think. And that's kind of why I wanted to talk to these people because I want to learn. I'm very fascinated by it. Who doesn't love animals and stuff like that? I mean, it's. I think learning's awesome, and to know that there's organizations out there that do this type of stuff, it's whatever I can do to kind of help them, I'm all for it.
John Guarnieri is our guest. Spear Talk is the name of the podcast. It's at DeanBlundell.com. The name of your company is it Silver Spear? Am I correct?
Yeah, Silver Spear Security.
Yeah, and you guys do maritime security, so that was... Because I was on your website this morning, I'm like, Jesus, these guys kind of do it all. They specialize in maritime security. But are you still doing like protection stuff, or is there, because of COVID, is it like, fuck, you know?
There's protection stuff. I've been on the road the last 5 months with Smith & Myers, which is the offset of Shinedown, doing the drive-in shows. And then in 2 weeks, we start for 2 week run in the USA, doing more drive-in shows, outdoor shows, and 3 indoor shows. And so... On top of the normal advancing security stuff, whether it's hotels or the show, I actually had to go back and get my COVID compliance certificate. So I am able to, I'm certified to look at a venue or a location, be like, hey, what are we doing for social distancing, masks, sanitization, stuff like that. temperature checks and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's an added thing that I think a lot of people kind of, well, why do we got to do this? Well, hey, these are the times now, either adapt or die.
Yeah.
And I chose to adapt. And so the protection stuff is still there. What's fascinating is that we kind of look at this company as like a pizza. So you have maritime here, you might have tours, bodyguard stuff, you might have events, you might have award shows. Well, our smallest sliver has always been a state security. Well, once the riots started after George Floyd and stuff in certain areas, our state area security for high net worth people in Beverly Hills and California really picked up. And so we're able to kind of just move around pieces and parts just to kind of, so we're always kind of working. Mm-hmm. So it's been great.
Yeah. Fuck. Talk about, you know, the process, like, you know, you used to you toured obviously extensively with Nickelback for a long period of time, provided security for those guys as well. You had, I think, one of the guys from Nickelback on your show a couple of episodes ago too.
Yep.
Great guys, just super, super guys. If you don't know, the Kroger brothers, and if you don't know, the guys at Nickelback, they're like the most down to earth, salt of the earth cats. They really, really are. Here's a question, I guess. When it comes to, you know, security and personal security now, and you talk about a state security being, you know, the big thing for people, do you get like daily calls from people saying, hey, listen, we live in the weirdest time. I need some guys with guns outside my house. Or is it more of a, like a planned approach when it comes to personal protection right now?
No, the calls are nonstop. And one of our clients is actually the Frank Zappa estate. And they've been with us with my CEO for 20 years. He grew up with Frank Zappa, Gail, and Dweezil, and Amit, and Diva. And so clients like that, that might necessarily not do security for 24/7 in the sense of like the traditional touring and stuff like that. But anytime there's an issue in California, or hey, there's a protest coming, or there's an issue, or there's been another shooting somewhere, God forbid, clients like that will always reach out. And so the last couple of months, we've really been working with the Zappa estate, helping them with certain issues they've had with security and stuff. And but obviously word of mouth is huge. If you do a good job and you represent yourself and your company, and like you have this moral compass, that people see that and people find value in you, also pay what you get for. So if you put the time in, the effort, and actually you care about what you do, that makes a world of difference. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I come across people that say you're working at a hockey game and the local security guy, whatever, base a couple hours a night, doesn't really, some of those people only work because it's a job, they want the paycheck. Very rarely do you find the people that love their job and they treat it like their life and career. Mm-hmm. Those are the people I want to be associated with. And working with those types, that makes my job that much easier.
So you used to be, your background, grew up in Massachusetts, which is where you live now. And you decided that you wanted to get into personal security. Like what took you into the job you're now? Because I want to get to the 7.5 years you spent in the White House as a member of the Secret Service. But what made you get into all this shit?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I always grew up like playing like the cops or robbers. I always loved like the watching movies like RoboCop, Predator, Missing in Action. So I always loved that hero guy that takes out the bad guys. And so I kind of fixated on, well, who could be a good guy that can fight bad guys? So I'm like, well, either police or law enforcement or military. And so I decided to go to Norwich University, which is the oldest private military college in the country. And I did 4 years of Naval ROTC. A lot of times people are like, well, why didn't you commission? Well, sophomore year, my dad had a brain aneurysm. It was in a coma. And my biggest fear was, hey, if I choose to commission or get sent somewhere, I can't be close to my mom and my sisters. And so I made the decision, well, I'm gonna not commission. I was still going to stay in the ROTC. I still love the military aspect. I did all 4 years of it, loved it, reveille. Every time there's taps. Every time there was everything military I did. And so junior year 2007, my buddy had graduated the year before and was doing on the motorcade unit for the Secret Service. and said he loved it. He was a big motorcycle guy. He's like, John, this is right up your alley. You get to do all this cool training and make a difference. And so I started the process, and that process took over a year. Background checks, every neighbor, every church you went to, every job you had, any soccer player you played, any coach. The polygraph took about 8.5 hours over 2 days. And
holy shit.
And so a lot of the times the questioning, there's like 10 or 12 main questions, like, hey, draw, like whatever, the basic stuff you would probably get asked. Anyone would think you'd be asked.
Yeah.
Well, then they'll throw in stuff there, like, have you ever had sexual relations with an animal? Or ask these really ridiculous questions to get your mind.
What'd you say?
Thinking. What's that?
What'd you say to the animal question? No.
Oh, I was kind of like, what are you talking? What? And he's like, have you? I was like, no. but then they'll re-ask that question again. And you're kind of like, well, what? Then they hit you with, if you find this money on the ground, what are you doing with the money if you find it? Like, they'll put you in these scenarios. Well, at 3 o'clock the first day, they're like, well, that's it. They're done. Like, we'll come back tomorrow morning at 9. And I did like 2 more hours that day, and then they basically hand you passed. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you have to get physically ready. You have to pay a post exam, which is basically a basic law enforcement. Like, you could take it right now and probably pass it because it's basic. Mm-hmm. And then once you get there, you get down set to – you end up in Beltsville, Maryland, where you meet your class, you meet your instructors. Then they ship you down to Glencoe, Georgia for 3.5 months where you're training under the DHS umbrella with, like, Bureau of Prisons, ATF, DEA, Capitol Police, Border Patrol, TSA. And so that 3.5 months is very – you learn about law, the Constitution – Miranda rights, but you also get the firearm, pistol, MP5 training, invasive driving, stuff like that, where it's very kind of open for that type of get your certifications for pistol and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once you graduate there, and I think we only lost 1 or 2 people because of injury, because there's a lot of fighting, there's a lot of tactical stuff where you get hurt. Well, once you graduate there, you can set up to Beltsville, Maryland, which is the Secret Service specific training. And that's another 3.5 months of everything very specific to Secret Service. Mm-hmm. Surviving a helicopter crash. You name it, where it's rope line stuff, evasive J-turns with cars. So you're learning everything very specific to the Secret Service with protection. And then I graduate that right at the time Obama first got in. And then I served out till 2014. That last year, the last campaign in 2012, I was only home 30 days that year. And that was because of the nonstop campaigning. So the team, you jump around from between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama and vice versa, whoever the vice president was and stuff. And there's so many times I'd wake up and we travel on C5 or C-17s with the motorcade stuff. And you kind of wake up, you don't know what city you're in. You're just so programmed to get the job done that you just get so numb to it. And that's kind of why I met my CEO at the time, Chris. And I'm like, hey, once I'm ready to get out, I feel burnt out in the sense of dealing with the politics / whatever in this world. I'd love to go private. And so that's kind of what I did in 2014. And I've been doing it ever since.
7.5 years of Secret Service. You go through all of that shit. What was your job at the White House? Like, what? I know you probably got ported to a bunch of different places. You said you wouldn't work with Romney. You had to go back to Obama with all that other
stuff. So basically, you control the access and flow. You could be outside the West Wing. You could be outside the Oval Office. You could be out on the South Lawn. Different movements and stuff. There's always, you're also responsible for the Treasury. And the Treasury guy at the time was like Timothy Geithner. Great guy. Not to get into politics, but he was just a great guy. And then people like that, every time someone comes to the White House and stuff or leaves or state rivals with other world leaders, you're there. And every time there's an event that takes place, like say Bin Laden, when he got killed, like, you get activated for certain stuff like that. And it was a very rewarding job. It was fun. I've met every single world leader and sports team that's gone through there. It was a lot of fun, and I don't take anything for granted from it.
Yeah. Well, I guess not. It's a job that not many people have, that everybody wants to be inside. I always wondered, you know, when you get, they travel with the presidential group travels with like all their cars and shit. Do they send that stuff ahead of time? Do they send the helicopter in the Hercules as well? Like, is that stupid fucking questions? But are you traveling in there? Does it suck to be on a plane for 14 hours straight heading overseas with your buddies, like that kind of shit?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you a funny story. We left from Andrews Air Force Base in the DC area, and we had to get to Jakarta. And so you can imagine on a normal plane how long it is. And these things aren't going as fast. And it was like you get up there sometimes and water's dripping on you, maybe oil, and you're like, is this normal? The Air Force guy, yeah, this is great. Like, we don't worry about it. This is what we do. And you kind of just sit back and laugh after the first time. You're like, man, this thing is a just whatever. But yeah, you travel with the Beast, the limousine, any tactical type team or a piece of equipment you need. If we are flying into a country, say like India or Israel, you are allowed your firearms, but they have to be carried in a halberd. And there's just certain protocols that change based on where you're flying and what you can bring in there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's, you travel, and if he's jumping from city to city, there's one or two teams that will always jump ahead. Almost like those big concert tours, like U2, where they do those big arena stadium stuff. There's always another unit going to the next city because you might get stuck here, and you can't always be, you can't rely on stuff you're using now. You gotta move ahead with it. So, we travel with it.
No shit. Obviously you met Obama several times, I'm assuming.
Yep. A lot of times people are like, well, what was he like? It's like, well, every time you saw him, like, he was great. Like, there was never no drama. Like, and I'm not, like, I never saw him. Of course, you saw him dealing with politics, whether it was with meetings or speeches. Like, I get that. But there was never a moment where you're kind of like, this guy is an asshole. Or now, I do think presidents have every right to be in that sense, because there's so much going on that you and I, the media, have no idea, like, what's really going on. Mm-hmm. And if someone's going to be an asshole, you would think he'd be the president. But he was always great. Michelle was Michelle. The kids were great. His mother was awesome. Mm-hmm. His staff was great. Like, Reggie Love was there. Cal Penn was there for a little bit. So people like that kind of like you would kind of see. The only one I really didn't get along with, because I think there was some arrogance there, was Pete Souza, the White House photographer. And his work is great, but he was always just very just, I'm who I am. It's like, dude, like, come on. But it is weird seeing, when you see these guys would go on TV, and even now, whether it's John Brennan or Hillary or something like that, you're kind of like, man, I was that close to these people. Mm-hmm. And here's a story that my family loves. At Maya Angelou's funeral, obviously everyone's there in DC, and I'm on what steps. Well, at the time, Hillary's Department of State, she is considered a clean asset in the sense of she does that everywhere she is, she doesn't have to be stopped, you don't have to check her belongings. Mm-hmm. But where the site was and who she traveled with, we didn't know who she was with her. And so Puma, her aide, came up running with her to rush to the church. Mind you, my Andrew's body is 50 yards away, not even. Every person there, celebrities in town, and she's right up. The Department of State guys look at me, and they know. Like, they know I have to stop her. They're ready to start laughing because they know what's about to happen. So I let Hillary in. I stop Uma, and she's like, what are you doing? I go, you're not a clean, whatever. And I start, so she knows she's wrong. I start searching her. Literally 10 seconds later, I hear Hillary go, you know who the fuck she is. Let him in. Let her in, you stupid cunt. And there's three or four people there that heard it, and Department of State guys are like, yikes.
Do I fucking and everybody hates Hillary? It's because she's actually a bitch.
She is. No, totally. If I could, and I don't ever want to slander politicians. Like, I get it. Like, I'm not. But there is a decency and there's a level of respect you have to show to every man and woman. And that day right there, I was like, man, this woman, of the irony too that bothered me was that Maya Angelou was right there.
Yeah, it's at her funeral.
Right. And you're kind of like, are you serious? And so she walks in, like, whatever, like nothing happened. Like, obviously I was on the right.
I'm impressed that the lady who almost won the presidency of the United States called someone a cunt.
There's a lot of stories out there like that. And talking to the Department of State guys after, we're kind of like, man, I don't know how you took that. Cause she almost like was just like so douchey and so like, you're just here for the photo op then. If you're calling me a cunt outside, probably one of the greatest, most prolific, awesome women, human beings. And
at her funeral.
Right. Yeah. And so that stuff like that happens where you're kind of like, man, I'm kind of soured on these people.
Yeah.
And of course the media's, they're there, but they're only Matt, if that clip ever got out, they'd be like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Well, dude, I think everybody knows that she's a, you know, a carpetbagger. That's the issue. And so that takes us to obviously the new press. Do you still have friends that are doing Secret Service for the new president?
Yeah. I do. Any of them are snipers, stuff like that. They love it. I mean, I don't fathom. If a lot of times people ask me, hey, if you could go back, would you be a cop right now? I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, I know so many people with this whole defund the police movement. And now, right or wrong, whether this incidents like George Floyd, like, we can all agree that guy should have died, whatever. Mm-hmm. But this movement to defund and stuff, it's like, you realize these men and women are putting their lives on the line to protect you and do your thing. And to deal with that, especially in areas like the White House, where you have Antifa or other groups that are throwing Molotovs or throwing gas canisters, and the media won't talk about it. But I mean, I've seen videos and pictures from my friends that work there. I mean, a couple months ago, it's a war zone. Same as Seattle. My friends in the Seattle PD, the Chop Zone. He goes, John, these people are literally getting maimed and murdered here, and so. You're kind of like, man, I hats off to you guys for keep doing it what you're doing now, because I don't know if I would enjoy it as much. Mm-hmm. But someone has to do the job. You're not there for politics. You take a bullet for that man or girl, whoever you're protecting, and there's no hesitation about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is weird, right? Because the guy that's in there now, although he stands up for the police, and I think misguided, in a misguided way. It's not like a learning thing, you know, like, but Biden, to his credit, has said, listen, I don't want to defund the fucking police. We just need to educate a few different policemen and we need to get the fuck out of our own ways, which is what I like to hear. But in regards to what you're saying, watching all the melee and watching all the bullshit for the past 4 years, is it harder protecting a guy like Trump than it was protecting a guy like Obama, who, you know, nicknamed No Drama Obama?
Yeah. I mean, he chain smoked a lot. That was a joke. yes and no. More so back when I was there, I mean, there was bomb threats at the White House every day or every other day. There was people jumping on the fence line. There was threats.
Quick question. Obama's new book just came out, and he was talking about how, as his first inauguration, there was an actual bomb threat on the South Lawn. There was like where he was doing his inauguration. He was taking there was a bomb threat. So he had a speech ready to tell everybody to clear the fuck out. Did you hear anything about that?
No. And the reason I say no is I don't. They happen a lot there. So
just bomb threats at the White House happen all the time?
Yes. Yes. And so there's
like how many a month?
I mean, I'm not going to get too specific in terms of like what the procedure is, but you probably over a half a dozen, 15 or so a month.
Still to this day.
Yep. And a lot of the times, it's one of those things where you can't have to take every threat serious. And there is a protocol, like how you kind of get the information you need from the caller, or if you can trace them and stuff like that. But if it's not a bomb threat, it's after 9/11, they had the FAA shut down restricted airspace. Mm-hmm. So nothing can fly within a certain radius around the White House, whether it's drones, kites, hot air balloons, even airplanes, because you got Reagan flying in there and DWI, the airport there. And so there's been times where helicopters will lose transmission or airplanes, private planes will kind of lose radio. And we're bunkering down the White House because you don't know, they're about to get shot down. You don't know what's going on. So you're always ready. You train for that stuff. Mm-hmm. And fence jumpers, that's now it's probably picked up in the sense that there's so much civil angst and hatred spewed between both lines. And it's kind of like, so in that sense, yeah, there's a lot, because a lot of people hate the current president, but a lot of the same number of people like the current president. So there's that divide where you're kind of operating there. But I mean, their hats off to them. They're doing a great job. And the Secret Service isn't political. Mm-hmm. So there's rules where, hey, say Dean is a Democrat, or say Dean's a Republican, I'm a Democrat. We're good friends, but we're driving in to park at the White House. Dean's not going to have a Trump sticker. I'm not going to have a Biden sticker on my car. You're not allowed. We can't show sides. Mm-hmm. And part of that thing is it's because your goal is to do your job, make sure everyone goes home safe, do the right protocol, and you're protecting the leader of the free world and his assets and staff. And there should not be politics with that, because mm-hmm. it's your job.
So why is there now? John Guarnieri is our guest, host of Spear Talk. He was Secret Service for Obama for several years. He also runs a protection service company called Silver Spear. Spear Talk is the name of the podcast, available at deanblundell.com. This transition. Now, I don't know if you're a part of the Obama transition from Bush to Obama. Maybe you got there a little bit. I'm not too sure. But this whole thing now, Trump is holding up the transition. What does this all fucking mean? Like, what is it like to be a part of that, and what should be happening?
Right now, in terms of Secret Service, they don't change based on who's president. You don't swap out who's currently in the White House with who's currently there. So basically, you're not based on, the only thing that really changes is that Trump will have his team for a set number of years. And then Obama's actually the president, I believe, that, for 7 years or something like that, you carry Secret Service protection for the first family. And then after 7 years, it's on you, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you'll have certain people, whether the job they put in for, hey, I want to be the team leader for Trump as he transitions out, or I want to stay with Team Obama. I want to be with him. I'll be his agent in charge for his unit thing. So we'll do that. But in terms of the actual change, there's no changeover. No one is switching out or we're going here. Different opportunities will arise where if there is a transition and I don't like talking politics because it gets me all fired up. But normally you don't really deal with, if there's a transition, which no matter what, there will be a transition in terms of one president leaving, or one president staying, one president coming, whatever happens, there is a transition where another team is established to help with that transition. Mm-hmm. Now, people will talk about, oh, you're going to have to march by the White House. That's never going to happen. If he loses or whatever, because there's so much crap out there right now, I don't know what to believe, but no matter what happens, no one's getting marched out. That's not going to happen. No one is. If you lose, you lose. You win, you win. Mm-hmm. So, but in terms of the scope of the Secret Service, they're not going to be involved in either one of that. I know people that were on the Trump team now, and they love him. They love him, and half those people worked with Obama in the last year. They loved him. So, I don't think there's any going to be an issues in terms of the Secret Service getting involved. Like, there's no sides. Mm-hmm. Like, this is your career. You put 20 years in, and I will one of those things though. I don't know if I think you had mentioned it on your show or you posted about it, but there was this thing that came out where when Trump, after he beat COVID, did a motorcade with agents in the car, or whatever. Now, mind you, those cars are sealed where no gas can get in, or like nothing's gonna happen to those cars, and people are like, he's putting these Secret Service guys in harm's way. They're all there. He's not wearing a mask. He just had COVID. Well, in the video, like, all the agents had masks on. They're tested every day. And if masks don't work, if they do work, then why are you worried about spreading it? Here's the other thing no one talks about. If I'm still working there, if I'm willing to literally get hit by a grenade or shot in the head to protect the president, the last thing I'm worried about is COVID. Like, your life is to serve what your job is, and you have to serve. Now,
so even if these guys, let me say this, let's say pre-existing condition, Secret Service guys, like, can you beg out of the job? Like, when Trump wanted to do that wheelie in his car out of the hospital, could the Secret Service guys in the front go, listen, I'm not comfortable with this because you're sick as fuck?
No, that's one of those things where obviously there is. You're never going to be short. If, put it this way, there's never going to be the required number of Secret Service on him at all times. Now, different stuff pops up. So there's been instances where, hey, if my wife's pregnant and about to give birth, or we have a family member, parent staying in our house, hey, guys, hey, shift leader, can I do? No problem. Like, you're never forced into a situation where
it's not unflinching. It's like you have, it's like a fucking job, right? Like, where you can go, hey, listen, right, I've got a birthday party. My mom's sick. She's living with us. I can't really do this gig. Can you push me over here? They're like, yeah, no problem, buddy.
And we talked about it off air before this, is that I personally hate wearing a mask. I'm never sick. I guarantee I had it on those cruise ships. I was asymptomatic. But here's the thing. I wear it because I have a sick father. I know people that are dealing with issues where this is bigger than me now, and so I care about those people. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't care about myself, and you're not going to see me out there when this first started, the supermarkets, and follow this arrow, and put your mask on, and don't stare at a person. I was kind of like, this is bullshit. So that was my anger. But when you sit back, hey, I got a sick father, and so if I see someone out in public, I'm not going to chastise them. Mm-hmm. They're going to do what they do. And I would do all I can do to protect the people I love and friends, and protect other people that might be in the situation I'm in. And that's ultimately what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? And you couldn't fucking be more right in my eyes. You know, I've said this many times before, is I think the world has been segmented into three groups of assholes: the middle, which is us, and then the alt-right and the alt-left, and all the bullshit that comes from either sides and the extremism and forcing their opinion or their narrative on us is a joke. And I'm very much pro PPE. I want people to wear masks, but I'm like you, where if someone's not wearing one in a grocery store and they're putting up a fucking stink, I'm not tackling the guy to get a mask on him. And
no,
I'm walking as far around that guy as I can, so I can get my cheese, I can get my meats, I can get my Fruit Loops, and I can get the fuck out of there. That's right. How I feel about this whole thing, to the point where I'm considering coming up with this group, an alt-middle group, where we just don't give a shit as much as you give a shit. So that's my opinion. And you're seeing it ruin different industries and ruin different, like the thin blue line. I have never in my life, because I've always had this real serious appreciation for men and women who stand in front of bullets and tack gear so we don't have to. That's just how I feel, right? So I'm forever in debt to the men and women in uniform. Still, people who have lost their lives in the past, people have fought in world wars, people that made the ultimate sacrifice. So watching you being in this industry now, watching the militarization and the weaponization of different groups telling you that there's something wrong with your industry, that's got to fucking suck.
Yeah, it's funny because the entertainment industry was the first kind of industry shut down, and is looking like it'll be the last one to come back. Now, I know sports are doing their thing, but they're talking of second wave and shut, like, whatever. And so, yeah, I know there's a lot going on behind the scenes. And like I said, I'm out there right now doing stuff where I'm very fortunate. My job is a necessary job at the time. I know a lot of people that are techs, or our good friend Hoogie is affected by this because she can't go out there. Mm-hmm. And I sympathize with them. I get it, and it pisses me off. But for me, to know that I'm out there trying to make a difference, other people I know that are, I would love nothing more than for all of our brothers and sisters to be back on tours together and stuff. Mm-hmm. There has to be a safe way to do it. But my issue is, at least have that conversation. It runs into some scenarios. Come up with ideas. Just don't accept the fact that COVID's still here and there's no answers. Like, we could create plans. We could be proactive towards it. And like you, I don't think you're just accepting COVID. Like, I think you were just kind of like, well, okay, it's here. What can I do in my role to help alleviate the situation. If everyone thinks that way, I think we're headed in the right direction.
As someone with the perspective that you have and rumor of another lockdown maybe coming to the United States, obviously the Biden presidency's, you know, he's been unabashed about saying, listen, we need to start wearing masks and we'll look at every opportunity. What do you say to like that fucking idiot that still thinks it's a hoax, that values, because I don't understand Americans from this perspective, value the ability to wear a mask and the freedom to wear a mask over the actual life that they're living. Like they're, the freedom to be able to put that thing on or not is somehow more valuable to most Americans, or 72 million Americans is what it seems like, than their actual life itself. Can you fucking explain that to me in a way that I understand?
And it's a great question, because every day I think about it.
You got 11 million people with the infection. You got 260,000 dead. You'll do another 170,000 infections today. So explain that.
I do think where the angst and the hate, the middle finger to big government for pushing for shutdowns is the fact that I don't think you can argue the virus isn't real. Like, obviously, it's a real thing. I have resentment towards the fact that the mitigation and the propaganda behind it is an issue. And like we talked about, too, it's like the media or the alt-right or alt-left will weaponize this pandemic or virus, whatever you want to call it, to fit their agenda. And then when, as you and I are in the middle, you hear one side say, well, based on the CDC and the WHO, the numbers of recovery only affect people, really, if you're like 72 or higher. Everyone else has a 99.6667% recovery rate, which is fact, which is on whatever the website is. I don't even know what facts are.
CDC.
CDC. But then you have the other side. It's like, well, it's so you're kind of just like, I get it. Like, yes, I think the virus is real. It's here. The people that don't like the backtracking of the WHO or CDC every 2 days, or someone like Dr. Fauci or Brexit, they'll come out and say, masks are good, masks are bad, masks are good, social distancing. Hey, if you get 2 days ago, Fauci's like, well, if you have the vaccine, you still have to wear a mask and social distance. Well, which one is it? Because it went from 15 days to slow the spread to here we are almost a year later. And I think that's where the resentment comes in. And I agree with you too. It's like the people that are so defiant in that resentment, you still have to acknowledge the fact that it's a real virus. Mm-hmm. And so you protesting the virus, or I'm not wearing a mask, like now you're being selfish. You're not caring about other people that might not agree with you. I'm not saying, if you want to think that way, I will gladly take a bullet for you. I will defend your right to think that way. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean you can start calling me names or pick and fight with me because I think differently than you. It's a really interesting case study that is always changing. It's like you, I sit back and like, man, what are you people saying? What are you talking about? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's frustrating because, you know, I hear someone like you that's got 7.5 years in the Secret Service protecting Barack Obama go, I don't fucking know anymore. Like, you know, someone that's been that close to the president and where all the answers are, he should probably know. So the fact that you're confused is such a great fucking example to set for everybody, to tell everybody where we are, which is really simple. And I look at it from a couple of different perspectives, but I always come back and I grind down to these very few things, which is give me the fucking baseline truth from a reasonable source. Just give 100%. Me that. Give me the baseline truth, reasonable source, and then I am going to do what I need to do to keep my family safe, to keep me safe, so I'm not perpetrating this disease, so I'm not shedding this disease, so I'm not unwillingly passing this on to somebody else, because I do believe in science. And that's the part that fucking makes me laugh the hardest when I see numbers come out of the States. And it's like a laugh, but it's almost a crying laugh, which is like hard to imagine that someone, and we live in Canada. Your girlfriend lives in Canada. You've probably been to Canada a million times. You know, we're the people that ordered the soup. They gave us the steak. We didn't complain, and we fucking ate it anyway. But right. In America, it's like, and to Canada to a lesser extent, these certain groups just won't shut the fuck up and stop telling us how it is and what to do because of how it is, based on no information or some fucking stupid meme they read from a QAnon site. That's the part that I, and I'm serious. Like, these people are making life decisions. I saw a guy from QAnon on television rush into a fucking pizzeria, like a family pizzeria to save 15 kids that were being sexually abused in the basement because of QAnon. And the proliferation of information like that into these malleable, stupid minds, and then how that gets fed into our ecosystem, I find, and you said a case study, I think it is awesome. It's awesome to the point where it's now making guys like you and me who don't, listen, we got the answers we want, we're happy living the way we live, to look for more answers. And I found answers in, go fuck yourself, everybody else. I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm taking this fucking seriously. But en masse, trying to understand how America doesn't seem to grasp that this is as big a deal as it is based on their individual freedoms to own a gun or to have an abortion or whatever it is. It blows my mind on a daily basis because by and large, most countries and the citizens of those countries affected have gotten at least the fact that this is fucking serious.
Yeah, no, it all goes back. I think we do have to, if we all act as a role model for someone else, or at least try and do the right thing, I think that's going to help people, because people should be afraid to find that role model or someone that, hey, like, this person's saying something cool. Like, hey, if I'm nobody and I hear Deed right now talking, I'm going to be like, oh, that guy, actually, I aligned with him. Like, he's got a voice. People know who he is. And I can kind of align to that. Maybe I can start thinking like he does. And so we have to hold each other accountable just to move forward. And again, there's no, it's crazy because no one is, I mean, the thing, and we can jump into this, the Q stuff, I love a good conspiracy. I am all about Bigfoot, Elliot Ness, JFK, Elvis. If you want to give me drinking the blood of children, I'll go down those rabbit holes. I'll have those talks. Not necessarily because I believe all of them, but I am fascinated with that there is this other story. Where I do get mad is that just because someone's in QAnon or Q, or they are Black Lives Matter, Antifa, or whatever organization that people have an issue with, don't censor them. I don't like the fact that if someone thinks differently, you get censored, whether it's on social media or just life in general. I think we can all agree that if you are a racist or a homophobe or someone that there is no redeeming quality, like you're just a piece of shit, censor that. Like, I don't want David Duke from the KKK telling me that, oh, vote for my kid. Like, I don't need you to tell me who to vote for. Like, just shut up. Mm-hmm. But the idea of censorship is that a fear? This is a question for you. Is that a fear for you to be the raw, authentic you, that there could be someone that wants to censor you, a la the Poppy story or something out where, what the other day you talked about, Trudeau wanted to do the Great Reset. Mm-hmm. Are you afraid to talk about subject matter that could get people scared to be like, why is he talking about that? Why is he acting? Why is he picking a side? Is that a fear for you?
No. And I'll tell you why, because for the last 3 years, I've operated under the assumption that listening is the best policy right now.
Yes.
Because we've been going through this evolution of as a people, as a society, as we've been trying to re-understand the really important things. And I had this conversation with someone the other day. I feel like I could be wrong, but I feel like, and to the point where it's like one of the truths that I live by, I feel as if my job now is to give common sense a little bit of an enema. I feel like my job is to present people with facts, allow people to fucking go after those facts if they like, but also to point out, make fun of, and shame the people that do it in a really fucking hateful way. You talked about the David Dukes of the world. I'm of the opinion that the freedom of speech is one of the most important freedoms we can uphold. However, the freedom of hate speech is not.
The 100%.
The freedom of division and hate speech and the division that comes from hate speech is not. So when someone says, fuck Facebook, I should be allowed to be as racist as I want, the Proud Boys should be allowed to further their Nazi agenda, I can't believe you guys took my fucking account away. Well, fuck, I can. That's hate speech. You're not allowed to do that in real life. You shouldn't be allowed to do it on the fucking web. And I think that transferably, those things should be mutually exclusive. I really do. I think so I don't engage in that. So that's not a real worry for me as far as freedom of speech. And I think that the freedom of speech that those guys are talking about is different than the ones you and I are discussing. We're talking about the common place of ideas. We're not talking about forcing an agenda or a narrative that's dangerous and hurtful that might kill somebody down a whole group's throat. That's what we're talking about.
Right. I got asked the other day, like, kind of talked about this, and someone's like, well, those groups that hate gay people, like, if there's a group that says, I hate homosexuals, you're going to hell, God says you're a faggot.
Christians.
Those people right there should be put in a hole and literally buried alive.
Yeah.
Now, if your group is about, hey, I'm Catholic, I don't agree with homosexual marriage, it's a sin, I'm okay with it. I get it. Like, you are, this is your religion, but you're not out there saying, fuck gay people, kill them all. Like, you're not, there's a fine line between the freedom of speech. And when people kind of take that for granted and take advantage of that, that's when those people on left or right should literally be silenced. And it's disheartening that people like that usually have the loudest voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every time one of them barks, you always have the reaction from the other side, and we get caught in the middle. And it's just kind of like, guys, girls, like, what are we doing here? Like, it's okay to disagree. I'm all for disagreement, healthy discussion, arguments, but don't swing a fist and don't be calling each other names just because they think differently.
Quick question. You know, the Antifa Proud Boys fights that we've seen go on, the one in D.C.,
yes.
You know, the block that they had sectioned off in Seattle, in Oregon as well, in Portland. Because you're a young dude, you're in your early 30s, is part of you, like, when you saw that action, were you like, fuck, I wish I could get in there?
So I would not be partaking in the chop. I would not be growing tomatoes on a tarp on a basketball court in Seattle. Now, when I see, and it's a fine, because it's one of those things too, because, like, those people think they want, they're defending, They're reading the Constitution or whatever. They think their rights are whatever their rights are. Well, those people at CHOP, they're talking about, oh, we hate Trump because he shut down the border. We want open borders. Well, the first thing they did was deploy a border with roadblocks and guys that are armed. And so the hypocrisy of that whole situation is a joke. Yeah. Now, do I have the urge to want to go in there with my Second Amendment rights and lock and load with my brothers and sisters blasted whatever, Leonard Skinner music and just fighting for America? No. But I do have a sense of, I'm not gonna say American pride, but I don't like the fact that we are in a situation where you have US citizens going against each other mm-hmm. just because of some bullshit idea that neither political party really gives a shit about you or I. Mm-hmm. And the minute you start putting violence and gun, like, it makes me sad. I do like that people defend their constitution and want to hold people accountable. Now, there are legal means to do that. But for me to get hyped up, and it's crazy. And my friend that was Seattle PD would send me pictures and stuff. And I'm just like, man, why isn't this stuff for the news? He goes, well, it's not going to get out because it's going to show how one side really is. And it's like, man, it makes me so mad that stuff like that's allowed to happen.
Mm. Yeah,
it's weird, right? Like, if you don't, you and I are on a sports team, and we're not playing, or we hate the coach. We're not. You and I are going to start our own team just because we don't like. Maybe we suck. So take that. Maybe Dean and I are not good on this team. We're not going to start our own team because we're going to have a team full of losers. Just work together to kind of play as a team, not create your own. That's why
you speak
so
for your own fucking team. My team's full of winners, dude. Winners. I only have teams full of fucking winners. John Guarnieri is our guest. Silver Spear is the name of his company. Personal protection, maritime protection. We're talking a little bit about fucking everything, from transitioning from one president to the other, your time in the Secret Service. I'd be stupid to not ask you a couple of really stupid questions, though. Like, it'd be one of those, because you've been close to the ring. You've been close. You know shit. Do you guys have stuff as Secret Service that you're sworn? Because a buddy of mine that worked for the Canadian government for years, I'm like, tell me about this. And he's like, I can't, sworn to secrecy. I still, like, for the rest of my life, I can't tell you any.
Yeah, there's stuff, like protocol procedures. Yeah, that stuff might change, but there's specific stuff and information you know about people that you can't talk about, or the location of certain assets. Mm-hmm. I do think the rule is, if you're going to write a book or do, like, a TV show thing, you have to wait 20 years after you retire or something weird like that. I'm not going to write it. Like, I don't care enough to write a book about that side of it. Mm-hmm. But people that, yeah, as long as you're talking about stuff that's general knowledge, now specific stories, as long as there's no like secret stuff, like Hillary calling me a cunt, like that, you're fine with that. It's the stuff.
I think it's funny that she called you a cunt because you checked, Huma Abedin, I think that's her name.
Yes.
And that was right about the time her husband, Anthony Weiner, one of the greatest stories of all time, was busted for sending pictures to underage girls.
Right. Yeah. That just come out a couple weeks later, I think. Too. Well, it's, the whole thing's
were you joke. Like this? Oh, crying shame. That's a shame.
Right. Where's the news now? Yeah. No, it's you're right. Yeah, I mean, there's no...
Do aliens exist? Have you been to Roswell? Are you allowed to talk about that?
If you've noticed the last couple months, they've declassified a lot of that stuff for the military.
But were you around, like, did you get to see any of this shit?
What? Roswell Area 51.
I mean, do you know if aliens exist?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have my beliefs. There's other stuff.
Yeah, but beliefs, John. I don't really care about beliefs.
I want concrete evidence. I have never seen an alien. I've never met Dr. Okun from Independence Day in the lab.
Okay.
Saying, release me. Now, I do have a guest coming on end of December where Dr. Stephen Greer, he's probably the premier ufologist in the world. And we talk about stuff that's, he's got two documentaries just came out. But if you're into like the UFO type stuff, that's, and the recent declassification for the military branches of the government, it's pretty crazy that they chose to redact a lot of that stuff now in the middle of a pandemic because no one gives a shit. Mm-hmm. And like any other year, you'd be like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, because I just want to know. It's like one of those little things. I'm like, okay, fuck, take the top off the bottle. Let's figure out what we got, what we're dealing with here as far as aliens. Worst world leader that you've had to deal with?
Oh, God.
Give me a few if you light them up right now, John. So no fucking reason why you shouldn't.
People I've met that I loved, and this isn't people I've had dinner with, like people I've interacted with. Netanyahu, incredible.
Good dude.
Yep. The Pope at the time, great.
Which Pope?
God, what was the one before the current
Benedict.
One? Benedict, yeah.
He seems he's like a fucking horror movie character, that guy.
Yeah, well, obviously I'm Catholic, so I revere and I love, we're not going to talk about that scandal, like there's issues there, but I learned about the history of the popes and stuff, like it always blew my mind, but looking at him, I'm like, this guy looks like a Bond villain. Like some evil, like Joel Osteen meets that idiot, guy you guys keep posting about with that stupid Biden laugh, like that cross.
Oh, Kenneth Copeland.
Jesus. Yeah. So the great.
Fucking crazy. You met a Pope. Did you shake his hand? Are you allowed to touch the
Dalai
Pope?
Lama? I met.
You met the Dalai Lama?
Yeah. When he came.
Is he like just a ray of sunshine to be around? I picture him to be like the kind of guy you want to hang out with all day Saturday in the park.
Yeah, like you look at him, you're kind of like, man, this guy's probably really good at cornhole or ladder ball. Like he's got that vibey kind of like lives on the beach.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's people. What's fascinating for me, they all have this aura because they're in such a limelight that you're kind of. Like, it's cool to be near these people. Mm-hmm. Now, would I love to have a conversation with all these guys? For sure. A funny story. I really haven't told this one a lot, but it kind of ties into what I do now. Back every September is the United Nations in New York City. So all the world leaders in. Well, one year, I am responsible. I'm working at the Mandarin Oriental, the hotel. And I'm responsible on one floor for watching, I believe it's the leader, the president, his entourage of the Ivory Coast, Ghana, and some other country in that area.
Yeah.
Well, like when they come in here, they get full whatever they want. So they go all shopping at Macy's. Like it's nonstop. Like this is, they're using their country's money illegally to do whatever they want, like free range. So they're basically sovereign wherever they are in our country. We're watching them, making sure whatever. And one of the leaders, he's just there. Half these people are no clothes on, walk around this hotel floor. It's like this is their home. Well, one of the rooms where they left, they actually what looked like a sacrifice, whether it was goat or chicken in the bathtub. They just very weird. And one of the rules for us is that we can't accept money, obviously. Now, and I'm not talking bribes. I'm talking where, hey, after that one detail, I'm in the stairwell with one of their guys, one of like their handlers. And he's like, hey, he wants to give you this watch. It looked like a gold Rolex, like legit. And I can't take it. Like anything over a certain number of money, whether it's like, I think a cup of coffee or like something like that, where you're not influenced.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I can't take it. No, he insists, take it. I didn't take it, but they have no concept of, like, we're not corrupt. Mm-hmm. Like, they're kind of fascinated. Well, either way, so that same trip, I'll back up like 2 days. Well, I think we're on like the 14th floor or something like that. Well, the lobby was, I think, somewhere close to there. Well, I've been watching the elevator bay. The elevator bay opens up. It's Sherry Moon Zombie and Rob Zombie and Chad Kroeger and Nickelback. They were in New York City at the time. I believe they're both on Roadrunner Records at the time. This would have been 2008, 2009, 2010. They both walk off the elevator. They see me, but they're kind of like, they think they're in the lobby. Well, they start walking down the lobby. Hey guys, obviously I knew who they were because I'm a music guy, and you guys can't be here. Like, whoa, what's up? Like, you guys are on the wrong floor. Lobby's down a couple of floors. Like, oh, sorry about it. And that's actually the first time I met Chad Kroeger. And unbeknownst to him, like, we laugh about now that I would be their security director years down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, you work for,
but
like...
people are dumb to what's going on. Like, yeah. It's funny, other celebrities, unless they're in their own little world, like, you're in the middle of the United Nations. Literally, there could be explosion. There could be garbage going everywhere. And you're just completely aware to, oh, cool. Fascinating.
Just part of your job. It's just part of what you do. Like, it's seeing that every day, which is why I wanted to know who the worst leader was. I would say, like, I don't know if you've met Putin, but I bet you, like, in a room, he's probably pretty fun to be with.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the media painting one side of him.
I don't know.
And so, like, you always kind of like, man, this is an evil guy, but is he though? So I wish, and I'd have to go down a rabbit hole and kind of dig about him and stuff and try to figure out. Another story, and I'll be quick. The one year at the United Nations, we were at the Waldorf Astoria, and who was your prime minister before Trudeau?
Stephen Harper.
And what year did he get out?
I'm going to say 6-7 years ago.
Right. Yeah. Either way, he came through. Obviously, when they come in, there's magnetometers and security protocol.
Yeah.
He kind of zoomed in, like went straight up the alley. Well, people outside knew who it was. He's not going to get stopped, swept, like whatever. Well, I see from the corner of my eye, because I'm dealing with somebody else, and I kind of put my arm out and grab him. I go, man, what are you doing? I see his lapel pin. Like, oh, crap. He's like, hey, man, you just do your job. And so that's kind of when I interacted with him. Well, later that night, Bono was there, and maybe Madonna. People like that, they're into the politics. Bono's up at the lobby area of the Waldorf, drunk or drinking, playing on the piano with a bunch of world leaders. And so stuff like that, you see, you're kind of like, this is cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, Harper. So, yeah. I liked Harper.
He's, yeah. You know what? A lot of people hate him because he's conservative, but he was actually a really great prime minister. He was like,
well, I just don't know his politics. For him though, like we'd see each other the rest of the week. He'd be like, hey, do you need a coffee? And I'm like, dude, this is the prime minister of Canada who I don't know outside who he is, like the politics, but this is like a, this is a guy that gets it. Like, yeah. Obviously people didn't like him or don't like him, but he's still a human being. And the interaction I had with him, stuff, people like that, I will always be grateful for.
Yeah, you know what? To a man, and if you talk to people, I know people that know him. I've never met the guy, but everybody says the same thing. He was just about as straight shooter as they got, pretty down to earth, pretty low key, just really conservative and had those religious conservative views, which his country fucking abandoned years ago. So, tough for him, but I get it. Like, it's weird, you know, when you talk to guys like you that have had these experiences, like everyday experience, you say no one knows what goes on inside. Like, you would never expect there to be a ritual sacrifice on the 14th floor of the Waldorf Astoria during UN week. But, like, you know, being able to see those things, go in and see how other people operate, That's fucking fascinating. If you're a learning person, you would love that job.
Right.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It's, yeah, I definitely get it. I take nothing for granted. I love the time there and I am forever grateful to the experiences.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and explaining a whole bunch of stuff to us and telling us some stories about your time. And even though you're in America, I want to thank you for your service because servicemen and women deserve that. And you deserve that as well. So appreciate it. And your fucking podcast is great. Real quick, before we let you go, Sergeant Frank Wood sent me a DM yesterday because I followed him. And I know he's going to be on your podcast soon.
Yeah, the I recorded that yesterday. And so I like to record like a month ahead because I'm going on a 2-week tour coming up. I like to have stuff stored. And I'm going to tell you what, James Burns is one badass dude. So we can kind of break down that character from Call of Duty. And
yeah, he's like the voice of Call of Duty. Frank Woods. Yeah, Frank Woods. So he DM'd me yesterday. I'm like, hey guys, Frank Woods just sent me a fucking DM. And they're like, oh my God, it's unbelievable. I can't believe it. And show, like taking screen grabs of it and shit. Yeah, so no, it's fucking awesome.
It's going to be, it was a great talk. And he played the stories. He actually won a national championship in Belgium. He played in the NHL for a little bit too. And so you hear about all these stories. And it's like, people like that are just cool because people know who he is, but I like talking about stuff that, yeah, we talk about the video game and that character and the training for it, but we talk about other stuff too, like current political issues and everything going on. That's a great one.
I'm looking forward to it. And if you haven't downloaded the podcast, do it. It's called Spear Talk. It's from Silver Spear Protection Services, John Guarnieri. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram. Where are your socials as well? Can you give me those real quick?
Instagram is John Silver Spear, one word, obviously. Twitter is Silver Spear 44. Facebook, I actually really hate Facebook. It's a necessary evil, so I don't really
just Google
advertise
Facebook.
That.
Silver Spear, yeah.
Right.
I'm of the same opinion. We have like a few thousand people that follow us on Facebook, and I still don't have a password to that fucking platform.
You're better off dying to have
it. I'm good. I don't need it. I call the relatives and the friends that I like right now, and
right.
I'm good. I don't need to hook up with anybody else from 40 years ago. I don't need to be told what's actually going on in the world from fucking Facebook. That's true.
Right. I'm not going to get my news from a bunch of knuckleheads that watch a meme or a video on YouTube that's been banned 75 times.
Probably good thinking right there, John. John Guarnieri, thank you very much for doing this, brother. Always, always great to have guys on the podcast from the DeanBlundell.com podcast network. It's called Spear Talk. Go and download it. Subscribe anywhere you get your fine podcasts. It's a video cast as well. Thanks for doing this, dude. It's always, like I said on Twitter, it's always nice to have a guy on staff that knows how to neutralize another human being.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, you pray you don't ever have to do it, but kill him with kindness first.
Yeah, no, I'm of that opinion too, but just as an alternative. It's just nice to have you around.
I'm into it. I will break a forearm if I have to.
hey, dude, good luck on your tour. Hopefully we can check again.
Awesome. Thank you, Dean.
Take care. That is John Guarnieri. Great guy. Not every day do you have like a guy on your podcast who has seen the things that we all want to see. And is able to actually navigate through them and then also, you know, just talk common fucking sense. It's just common sense. You wear a mask, I wear a mask. You don't want to wear a mask, don't tell me to wear one. He's pretty sure there's aliens too. That's what I got out of that. I hope so. I'm on again. I want to know more shit from him. I want more details, Sean. Like I want to know about Roswell. I want to know about what's in the beast. Like I was scared to say, hey, what's the presidential limo really like? What kind of anti-gun stuff do you got in there? Do you got bombs? Do you got a load of tricks? Is it like a James Bond car? You know, that kind of thing. Tell me about, like, I want to know about that stuff, but I was too scared.
Where do they keep the rockets in that limo?
Where's the RPG?
Exactly.
Where are the snacks? Is there a snack drawer in here? Is there a place for snacks in the beast? Is there a mini fridge? Just little things like that. Like, I'm fascinated by that stuff. Can you imagine working in the White House for like 7.5 fucking years, seeing everything and just being that chill about the whole thing? Yeah, that's good. Real. Thanks to John for coming on the podcast. Thanks for you for watching. Thanks to our sponsors, partners as well. Owner's Box Fantasy Sports, weekly fantasy sports done right. Bigger payouts, better payouts all the time. Right now, they'll give you a $100 cash bonus when you sign up with $100. Up to $100 in bonus money when you sign up and you put your dough in. You don't even need dough. You can sign up for free. Go to ownersbox.com. The platform is incredible, all self-contained. You can customize everything. Make fantasy fun again. Weekly Fantasy Sports from Owner's Box Weekly. Fantasy Sports. Blue Microphones, home of DeanBlundell.com and the podcast network, the official sponsor of the actual entire network. They've outfitted almost every single one of our people with these beautiful Blue Yetis. And if you want one, we're going to give you one. You just got to send us your podcast. You go to DeanBlundell.com, click on the show, it's your pod link, and it's brought to you by Blue Microphones. You'll win a brand new Blue Microphone if we select your podcast. You'll also win a brand new mic arm, and you'll also win these really slick headphones. Really slick. And all you have to do is send us your podcast. So what you do is you leave us a link. We'll go and check it out. And Bob's your uncle, Helen's your aunt, as my dad would say. And when we pick that winner, you'll be a member of the podcast network as well. We'll give you all new Blue Microphone stuff, and you're on your way. The Show Us Your Pod contest, courtesy of our friends at Blue Microphones. Who wants Gitch? You want Gitch? I got Gitch. You want Gitch? I got lots of Gitch. Ed's Gitch. Ah. This is the kind of thing that you order for, like, a boyfriend, husband, brother. When you know that you can't go shopping because it's really tough to go shopping right now. Ed's figured it out. He's got his own branded Gitch luxury underwear, pouch in the front, super slick, super movable, super breathable. And he wants you to give you four for the price of three with promo code GITCH3. Use promo code GITCH3. Go to edsfineimports.com. Get your four pairs of underwear for the price of three now. Everybody needs Gitch. You're going to have to fucking go through and recycle. Same thing with socks. It's like one of those things. Why not get the world's best underwear for your nutsack? It's like a sleeping bag. It's like a hammock. Right in there. Edsfineimports.com. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Join us at DeanBlundell.com. Sign up for the newsletter there. And have a great day, everybody. I'm done. Bye.